Okay, Shavua Tov, Chanukah Sameach, everyone. Chodesh Tov and Mevorach. Today's daf in Masechet Arit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Chof Beis. So we were talking about the way that Abaya was so upset that Abba Umna had better regards than he got, and how come? And it turned out that he checked Abba Umna out, as we saw, and he was indeed a pretty good guy. So we got up to the first big line. And we were up to Rava, who was upset at the fact that Abaya got these regards once a week, and he only got HaKadosh Baruch Hu's regards once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. So he was feeling very sad about that. And so, Chosha Daiti to Rava, Mishum Da Abaya. So Rava was upset at the fact that Abaya was so much better than him. Omru Leisa, they told Rava, Mistayech. So there's a Girsa of the Bach that says he sees this in a dream. That, listen, your schusim are enough that you should to protect the entire city. And your city, as you know, is a tough place. And because of you, your city survives. So that's basically what your schuyot are being used for. And not for getting regards, which is just nice. Rebruka choza havishchiach b'shuka to be lefet, havishchiach elio gabe. So Rav Broka, he used to be in this marketplace, and Elio HaNavi was oftentimes with him. And one time, he actually has an opportunity to ask Elio HaNavi about what's happening in the Shuk. So he's got this opportunity, and he says, Ikabai Shukah Bar Almadati, I just want to know, like, what would a Ben Olam Haba look like? Is there anyone in this entire shuk that you could tell me is a Ben Olam Haba? A Ben Olam Haba is not stam that a person is a chelik in Olam Haba. Obviously, Ben Olam Haba means that this is a person whose mitziut is a mitziut of Olam Haba. So, Eliyahu HaNavi said, I don't see anybody here. Nope, forget it. Well, meanwhile, as they were hanging around talking themselves, Chosalu Gavda Vasayim is Ani Uchmi. So he sees a certain guy who is dressed like a goy. First of all, he's wearing black shoes. All of the Talmidei Chachamim wore tennis shoes in those days. So if the guy's dressed in black, obviously something's wrong with him. Not only that, he didn't have any tzitzis in his beged. And Eliyahu HaNavi points this guy, says, this guy, he's Bar Olam Haba. So Rav Broka chases after him, says, please, you got to tell me, like, what are the things that you do? My uvda. So the guy says, Zila, either goodbye, you can come back tomorrow, I'll talk to you. So the next day, he indeed goes over him again, and he says, listen, I'll tell you, my job is basically, I'm a zedukana. A zedukana is a warden in a jail. And I am very makbid that people, just because they're in jail, they generally lose all sense of their own tzidkes, their appropriateness, whatever. And my job, I take on myself to see to it that they should remain mentioned. So Asarana Gavi Luchud, Vanasha Luchud, I put the men in one place, I put the women on the other side. Vraminu Puryoi bin Hanilane, I put my own bed between these men and these women. So when there's a Jewish prisoner who is a female, and I see that the goyim that work with me, you know, the other wardens, that they are getting interested in her. So, I do anything in my power, including risking my own life, to save her from them. Once, there was this Nara Hamurasa that had been arrested. And I took the leftovers, the lees, from wine, that was blood-colored wine. And I put it on the bottom of her skirt. I said to him, yeah, stay from that girl. She's basically Anita. And the people in those days were very makbid not to have relations with a menstruant. So Rav Broka asked him, so how come you don't wear tzitzis? I mean, you're such a tzaddik, and how come you're wearing black shoes? So he said to him, because I need to look like a goy. Because I lean up and I think the beni nochrim. Listen, I mean, my whole job, basically, nobody even is chayshet that I'm Jewish. So I have to dress like a goy. And that way, So by circulating among them, I'm able to find out like what their plans are against the Jews. And then I come and I let the Rabbanan know about it. So they should immediately daven to be mevatel the gezerah of the government. When I asked you, why couldn't you just tell me then? Why'd you tell me to go away? Well, Marley, because I had just found out something. Because by Yishaita, Gazrik Zeirata, Vamina, Bereshe, Ezeva, Shama, Le, Rabbana, Del, Bay, Rachmela, Demilta. I felt that every moment lost from Tefillah is a moment of opportunity lost of being able to be Vata, the Gzeira. So even though Mikvotcha, I was chayef to answer you as a Talmud Chacham, but I felt that this was a Tzurich HaRabim, and that came first. Meanwhile, at Ahachi Va'achi, there were other, these two people came by in the Shuk, and Eliyahu comes over to Rav Broka, and he says to him, by the way, these two guys that just showed up over there, Anachnami b'nei Amadati Ninu, those are also b'nei Olam Haba. So he goes up to them, and he says, so what do you guys do? Mayuv Daichu. So they said, basically, we're clowns. Inish b'duchei anon. Our job is to be clowns. So what we do is mevatchina natzive. We go around to the psychiatric hospitals, you know, and anybody is sad or having some kind of depression, we get them happy again. You know, it's good to be a clown. By the way, there really are these things, you know, these medical clowns. And they're very much part of treatment in many places. Inami, Richie, your wife actually finished the whole course in being a clown for this burping.
Yeah. She never really... But it was definitely
and as Naftali's pointing out, that's the whole Patch Adams, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. I always find it Patch Adams means the Tikkun of Adam, right? So it's the Tikkun of Adam Arisha. That's the
patch on that, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. Yeah. Right? So anyway, he couldn't cheer himself up, unfortunately, but he did go through hell. So yeah. So anyway, so what we do is we go around and we cheer up people. And whenever there's two people that are having like a fight, Tarchinin Vavdina Le Shalama. So we work very hard to bring peace between them. It's a very beautiful article by the Ali Shur. It's in his Sefer, in which he uses this Gemara to talk about the way that Yeshiva Bochum don't really have a sense of humor. You know, just that gentle sense of comedy, like to be able to turn everything in life into humor, into something that allows it to slide by easily and that people should, you know, learn not to take things so seriously, stop being so serious. He considered it to be a tremendous chisoron, especially among the Balei Musar, that they get to be very serious. And he felt that was like a tremendous destruction of the entire concept of Avedas Hashem. And you can't be Avedas Hashem if you're serious. So if you take yourself seriously. So he had like a whole thing about how to teach Yeshiva Bochurim to be much more involved in comedy. He brings all the Gemaras to talk about the way the Rebbe used to begin the shiur with, you know, saying something that was funny before starting the shiur, so that even though it wasn't a meaningful lesson, the comedy per se is enough, like you see from over here, is enough to be mezak and adam into Ilam Haba. And it's the way in which people that take things seriously, they get into fights all the time. These serious people, everything is a problem. Everything's like tension all the time, because you got to watch what you say here, watch what you say there. So, you know, there's other people that just let everything just slide off their backs because of comedy. See what an incredible mindset it is. Al Elu Matrim B'chol Makom. So we have this whole discussion about the Arba and the Chasil, and then so the question was the amount that you're supposed to consider to be an indication of danger to come. So we said Ala Shidafon, Vala Yerakon. So over there, if you're actually damaged, the grain is becoming damaged from the wind or from turning yellow, or an Arba or Chasil, which are very dangerous locusts, Val Chaya Ra'ah. And Rabbi Akiva Eimer ala shidafon va ala yerakon. There's no shear at all, even b'chol shavu, because they tend to very rapidly turn into a calamity. And arba v'chasil afilu lo nira be'eretz Yisrael ela kanaf echad. If you found one of these organisms, one, that's anyway matrina, because they never travel in one. So what you're seeing is basically something that is part of a swarm, and you just don't know where the swarm is. You haven't got one, but the dangers of the swarm are absolute. You never find one. And then it says, Al Chayara'a. So Tanur Rabbanan, Chayara'a, we're talking about Chayara'a, where you're talking about something that's unusual, obviously, not stam, that there's a chaya. So Bismanchi Mishulachat, if there's something weird about the way it's acting, so you see that it's coming min hashamayim as if it was sent, you know, so then Matri, you know. But if it's Enim Mishulachat, so then that's like just the kind of things that happen. You know, sometimes because of the interaction of humans and chayas. So, you know, you get these difficult problems because you're encroaching on their territory and they keep coming back in and stuff like that. So it has to be Mishulachat. If it's not Mishulachat, Ein Matrin Aleha. Ezoi Mishulachat. So what is considered to be Mishulachat? What is considered to be Ein Mishulachat? So if it was near Eit Be'ir, if it comes into the middle of the town, that usually the Chaya will not do. And therefore, that's called a Mishulachat. But if it's in a field, so fine. A field is a place where the Chaya feels reasonably secure. And therefore, it's standard to be in a place where, why not? So that's not called Mishulachat. If you see the Chaya during the day, instead of the nighttime, where it would usually be sent around, then it's considered to be Mishulachat. If you see it Balayla, then it's not Mishulachat. If it sees two people, and it chases two people, and that's strange. And that's Mishulachat. Usually a Chaya won't chase two people. Nechbet bifneim, but if it hides from them, then it's not Mishulachat. And we're going to see that each one of these cases is a contradiction, minehu bei, and the Gemara is going to make all of this clear. Let's say it tarfa shnei bnei adam va'achla achad mehem. Let's say it killed two people, and it eats one of them. So then that's considered to be Mishulachat. If it eats both of them, then it was just hungry. Then it's ain't a Mishulachat. Tosis points out, obviously, if it eats neither of them, so then for sure, it's Mishulachat. It's just saying, even if it actually ate one of them, we don't say it would have killed two of them without being interested in food. Alter Lagag, what if it climbs all the way to the roof of a building and there's an infant up on the roof and it takes the infant out of its crib? That's called Mishulachat. So all of these things are not normal places for Achaya. Says the Gemara, okay, none of this makes any sense. Because first you said that if it's in town, so then it's considered to be Mishulach. You didn't make any distinction between nighttime, daytime. You said Achaya doesn't belong in town. Now all of a sudden you start saying, and if it was during the day, I understand. Then you turn around and you say, if it appears during the day, so then it's Mishulach. If it's Balayla, ain't a Mishulach. So how am I supposed to end it? No, it says the Gemara Kasha. The Braita was saying two things that were interrelated, meaning, if it was near at the Ba'ir, meaning Biyom, so then it's Mishulachat. If it's Ba'ir, but it's Balayla, it's Ena Mishulachat. Or, if it was Besada, then Afilo Biyom, Ena Mishulachat. You have to put the two together. Okay, and the next piece makes sense, next piece also doesn't make sense. First you say, okay, sees two people, and it chases them, so then it's Mishulachat. Which means what? That if it doesn't chase them, and it just stands there, so then it's not Mishulachat. And then you say, if it runs away from them and it hides, so then it's in a Mishulachat, which implies that if it stood its ground, then it is Mishulachat, even though it didn't chase after them. So you're contradicting yourself in the same sentence. Okasha, it depends. If you're talking about a place where, let's say it's a Sadeh, which is where that would normally be, we said, but it's close to an Agam. An agam is a place where the humans are not going to, it's like a quicksand or, you know, a swamp. The humans aren't going to go chasing it into the agam. And it knows that. So over there, it's perfectly normal for it to stand its ground if it sees that the humans are trying to attack. So it just runs into the marsh. You know, it doesn't worry. If it's a place that's a sudden that is not smicha la agam, so it's not near the swamp, or it's not near the marsh area. So then, for sure, the most normal thing would be to make sure that it's not going to be attacked by the humans. If it doesn't fear such an attack, so then it appears to be Mishulachat. Okay, and the next piece makes sense. The next piece also doesn't make sense. You said, if it's tarfa shnei b'nei adam ke'echat, and it eats one of them, then it's Mishulachat. If it eats both of them, it's not Mishulachat. But you said before, In the previous bav of the Braita, you said if it chases them, you didn't say anything about eating them. I mean, how did it suddenly become eating them. Amrav Papa ki tani ayi. Where were we saying that it's considered to be normal that if it kills two people and eats two people, it's not called Mishulach, even though it's clearly chased then. That's talking about when it was in the Agmas, it was in its own territory. That's different because the humans entered its territory. So therefore, unless there's some serious change where it obviously wasn't hungry and it's nonetheless it killed them both, it would be considered completely normal. Gufa. Now let's take a look at the last piece. Alta legag, minotla tinok mi harisa mishulachat. So if the animal climbs up to a roof, takes a child, well, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's pshita. You don't find bears on your roof. So, I mean, this is doubly crazy. It comes up the roof and it takes a kid out of a crib. I mean, that's really weird. Rav Papa, what we're talking about is not a house. We're talking about people that are out on safari. And it's a kuchvid, it's a yadi. So it's basically, it's a hide. So they climb up to the top of the hide. That's what we're saying. So that's not unusual for them to be on top of the hide. But to grab an infant, that is a little bit weird. Okay, so because of that you have to understand the context of the cases in the bright. And we also said that in the case of a cherev and so on, that you're supposed to, immediately be matria. When we say over here, a cherev, obviously we're not talking about an attacking cherev. Attacking cherev we all already listed before. In the cases of the city, Shikifu and Nochrim, and so we're not talking about that. We're talking about a passing army that has no interest in attacking you. It's just going by your area in order to get somewhere else. That's what we're talking about. Now, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'dvaro. So obviously, in a tzorech lomar cherev she'eino shel shalom, what we're talking about is a cherev that is no intents of anything against you. It's simply crossing nearby through your territory in order to get somewhere else. And the proof of this is, ein lecha cherev shel shalom yoter miparo necho. I mean, like, there's no better example than the story of Paro Necho, who had his own business, and he was trying to attack. This was basically a Nevi'ah. V'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. So the Navi said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to punish Mitzrayim by having them fight each other, right? So they were going on their way to Ashur. And the fastest way to Ashur was for Paro Necho. He was called Paro Necho because he was a Neche. He was lame. So they called him the lame Paro. But anyways, he was going to Ashur. He was going through Eretz Yisrael to save himself, going all the way around. And that was the terrible story where Yoshio actually was killed because he told Paro Necho he can't come through and that he's going to fight him if he tries to come through and so on. So here's the story. Tana Rabbana. Cherev Shamru, when we talked about being Matriyana Cherev, Eno Tzorich, so Afa Pisha Nichshaba Melech Yoshio, Afa Pike, Nichshaba Melech Yoshio, and even though he was coming through for no issue with the Jews at all, it ended up being one of the most awful things that happened, and Yoshio HaMelech was killed because of it. Shenemar, because here's the whole story over there. Paro Necho sends him a message. Listen, what's your problem, man? So he sends him a welcome to Yoshio and says, Mali V'Lach Melech, you understand, what are you getting involved with something that's none of your business? I have no, on the contrary, I'm your friend. So, Lo Alecha Atayon, what? You think I'm coming over here to have something to do with you? I'm on my way to my own business. I have a war that I have to take care of. Ve'Elohim amar l'va'aleini. God himself has said I'm supposed to go fast. You know that? Because the Navi said to you that I was supposed to go, right? He said, "Shichrachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim." So if you know that, and you know that I'm in a rush to get there, so then what are you starting up with me for? Listen, I'd advise you to keep your hands off of my army, mind your own business, and don't start up with the God that's with me, because otherwise, he may go ahead and kill you guys. So even though he got this message, Yoshio went to prevent this, and because of that, he was killed, and Paro Necho ordered that they should focus specifically on him, because he's the problem. I just get rid of him and everything will be fine. So the question exactly is what exactly went on over there? Because the truth is the Paranocho was right. And there was, in fact, a Gezerah of Sichsachti Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim. So what happened? So first of all, we want to know what is the meaning of the Elohim Asher Imi? Because when he said that God himself said that I have to do this and I have to rush, he was not referring to the same God when he said Elohim Asher Imi. See, he himself distinguished between God told me and the gods with me. So don't tangle with the gods with me. So I'm reviewing a Rav. Look, obviously that was an Avodah Zarah. That's the God that's with him. When he was talking about Elohim, he meant what the Navi had said. So because of that, Yoshio said, even though there was a Gzera, Avazichsachti Mitzrayim v'Mitzrayim, but this idiot is being Boteach in Avodah Zarah? If he's being Boteach in Avodah Zarah, I don't have to worry about, because bottom line is, he's doing something that is Aldas Avodah Zarah, and it's not the fulfillment of what the Navi said. So what happened was that Vayoru HaYorim L'melech Yoshio, Vayomer HaMelech La'avada Ve'eviruni Ke'achaleti Ma'od. So Yoshio tells his Avadim, get me out of here fast because I'm in terrible shape. What does it mean I'm in terrible shape? And so, but the bottom line of the Lushan is that even though Paro Necho had announced the Chatrila, I'm just passing through, the end result was it became a disaster. Fine. So what does he mean by Achilot Imod? And it's, the Bach takes out this curious because it's not a function of Achilot Imod, but fine. They shot so many arrows into him that it was like his entire body became like a sieve. He was leaking blood from all over. Why, in fact, was he punished? He should, even though he had a basis for it, he should have discussed it with Yirmiyahu. Because if the Nevius was that this was a Mishulachas Ayidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you don't go and use your own das to decide that you should try to prevent it. So what was his problem exactly? Why did he feel that there was a mitzvah for him to stop Paro Necho, my darash? That's Nogea, our Mishnah. He darshan the Pesach says like this. V'cherev lo ta'avor ba'artzechem. So when it says that it will be a no cherev that will pass through your land, and that's part of the schos of Shmiras HaTorah, so what cherev do you think that that means exactly? Do you think it means that there will not be a war? Yilem b'cherev she'ena shel shalom? You mean an attacking army? It's part of the brachas are that there will be shaloms. Obviously, it's not referring to Cherev Shel Shalom, as I was already said. So what must it mean? It must mean Afilu Shel Shalom, that there is shalom, and that the army passing through is absolutely no designs against you whatsoever, complete peace, treaty with you, whatever. And he said, well, if the Torah was Mavtiach, that even a Cherev Shel Shalom shouldn't pass through. So even though the Navi said that there's an inyan for him to be able to get to this war, but since he's Boteach in his Avodah Zarah, so now I should stop him. But he was wrong, because Uenu Yodea, She'in Doro Dome Yafeh. This is a part of the brachas when Klal Yisrael is being shamed in the Torah. And Yoshiyahu had insufficient information about the true state of his door. He thought that he had managed to stop all of the Avodah Zarah. This is the famous story about the way that he had sent the police around and that they had the Avodah Zarah, that it was constructed only when the doors were shut. It was like anyway, so because of that, Ki Avinecha Nafshis, as he was there dying, he was lying dying. Chazi Yirmiyahu Sivaseh Dekomarachashon, Yirmiyahu sees that his lips are moving. So Yirmiyahu said, Rav Hashem HaChas V'Sholem, Milsud Loma Agna, Amar Agav Tzare. Maybe he's saying something that was angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the fact that this has happened to him. So Gochin, he bent over him. V'shamei dekomatztik aledina nafshi. That Anu Rabba, what he was saying was, Tzadiku Hashem kipiu mariti. Which, of course, is the pasuk in Eicha that Yirmiyahu then writes about this story, and then he makes the whole kina about Yoshio was such a tzadik, and this is Tzadiku Hashem kipiu mariti, in which case At that moment, Yirmiyahu said, "Ba'ishayta ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem." He considered the life of Yoshio to be mamish, his own living breath. The Mashiach Hashem, he was so close to him and felt meant so much to him that it was this disaster that he gave that whole parak in Eicha because of this baisa. Okay, now the Mishnah said that there was a maisa of Yordu Zekenim, Yerushalayim La'orehem, because of what? Because of Molo Pi Tanur. All there was like one Tanur Peh worth of damaged Tvua. And because of that, they felt they had to, because Ratainis, it was a disaster, and they sent the Sanhedrin to go to all of their cities that they should make sure that all over they would be Mis'ana on that because of something in Ashkelon. It's a, wow. So what is the shear? Understand that when it comes to the locust, there is no shear because they travel in swarms. But what is the shear of the Melotanur Tfua exactly? Does it mean Melotanur of the actual grain? You should be able to fill up an oven with grain? Or do you mean Melotanur pot? That the amount of grain that would have been enough to bake bread after it's turned into flour, obviously, to bake bread, which of course the bread, I mean, is, you know, 100 times bigger than the grain, right? And not only that, I mean, obviously when you bake bread in the way they bake bread, where they put the pitot around the edge of the inside of the tanur, it never fills the tanur. It just is around the edge. So it would have been extremely big shear if you would have said that it's supposed to be the size of grain that's going to fill up the whole tanur. That could be like 100 times the size of melopi tanur pot. Tashma. Well, it's obvious. The Lashon in the Braita is Kimlo Pitanur, not Mlo Tanur. Mlo Pitanur. Mlo Pitanur means that we're talking about just the mouth of the Tanur. You can't put grain in the mouth of a Tanur. It's ridiculous. It just falls in, obviously. So then it would be the whole Tanur. So then you would have said the Tanur, a Tanur full of grain. Is that what it says? So then you've got to be talking about the bread that would be at the mouth of the Tanur. Okay, fine. That I see, but I still don't know exactly how much that is, because it might mean as much bread as it would take to cover over the top of the tanur, so it would be kisuya to tanura, or it could mean kidara derifta the harder level of the tanur, could mean an entire row of bread around the whole top of the oven, and that you're not really explaining very well. That's the way Rashi understands it, but Tosfos understands that Melo pitanur would mean kamelo igul, the pitanur. It's slightly different. It's not kikisuya de tanura. So the question is, does it mean the amount of bread that would be put around the top part of the tanur, which then expands and covers the top of the tanur? Or does it mean bread that would be going all the way up and down, all around all the sides of the tanur? That's how Tosfos understands it. Okay, but basically, we still are doubtful about what the shear is. And because of that, Rashi's got his problem with the shear, Tosfos's got his problem with the shear, but the bottom line is, do we have a raya, whether it's kikisuya de tanura, whether kigula de tanura, or duma kidara de rifta, to hara le lupuma de tanura, or kidara de rifta from the bottom of the tanura to the top, all around, according to Tosfos? That remains a question. Take it. Okay, then we add the question of the attack by these wolves that had eaten up these children in Ivar Yarden, and that became Little Red Riding Hood and Riding Hood. It was like this whole big issue, and so on, and Grandma, and the whole big deal. And Omra Ulam Yishum Rebbe Yishum and Ben Yehud Sada, that there was actually a Maisu Bol Uze Evim Shneitin Okod. I could tell you once happened that wolves actually swallowed two infants and whole. The Hekiyum Derech Beit Ari'i. And it passed them out through its anus. Ubama aselifte chachamim. V'tiyaru atabasar. So they said that the boser is not metame kemes, because since it was already digested, it doesn't have a dinu boser. But the atzamot are not considered to be digested, and they are tame. So that's how serious, how real the story was. Al elu matrin b'shabbat, and then talks about the part of Rabbanan Yirshi Kifua Nochrim. So if it's surrounded by goyim, or there's a nahar that is threatening the city with flooding all city, or whether it should say echad yirshikivu nachad, not echad Svina Mitarevet Binyan, or Echad Yachid Shenir Daf Mipnei Nochrim, or even if it's a single individual who's being chased by a mob, or Mipnei Listim, or somebody's trying to steal, or Mipnei Ruach Ra'ah, or the person is suffering from some kind of mental state that is making him run, which means there is a mental state nowadays that is very similar to this mental state. It's called following Waze directions. So Waze tells you turn left. You turn left off of the bridge and you end up at the bottom of the ocean. This happens all the time. So it's the same idea. So whether it's a demon or whether it's Waze, but basically if you see a guy like that, so then you're allowed to daven. So al kulam yachid u'shar tzagefet atzma betanit. This is something that an individual, Tosis understands this to mean, that even an individual who, in terms of the machlokas that we had earlier, whether it's mutter to be, it's a good thing to have a tinus or not, and we were machalik over there, we said lo plige, it depends if you're able to fast without its effect, you're not able to fast. So Tosis understands that the point over here is that the Tanakama is saying that even a person who is not normally allowed to fast, but over here, the Yochid is Rishay the Segev, that's more betanit, because it's such a clear and present danger. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Omer, in a Yochid Rishay the Segev, that's more betanit, you cannot, but for another reason, it's not a question of whether the situation warrants it. The question over here is, Shema Yitztarech Libriot Veina Briot Merachamot Alav. You are going to limit your own income by doing this because you're going to be much less effective, much less creative, and have much less energy. And the bottom line is, you're going to need other people's help. And what makes you think other people are going to help you when you need help? So you're going to go over here and you're going to make yourself sick over saving this guy, but nobody's going to make themselves sick over saving you. So face facts and don't do it. My time at the Rabbi Yossi, Dichtiv, Vayhi Hadam LeNefesh Chaya. Nefesh Chaya means, you've got a nefesh, then you damn well better see to it that it remains chaya. So the neshama shenatati b'cha ha-chaya, it's your business to make sure that that nefesh is chaya. And there's nothing to do with the sugya that we had before of whether it's chote because he was mitzayir atzma. We're not talking about mitzayir atzma over here. This is talking about the sagif is atzma. Okay, so then Shimon HaTimni said that al-hadever also was supposed to be Tzoyek on Shabbos, for Lohodu Lul Chachomim. Now the question is, when they say Lohodu Lul Chachomim, does that mean because we're talking about on Shabbos, but Shabbos Lohodu Lul, but they have no problem with Bechol, they were Moda, or Dilma Lohodu Lul Klal? Now this is a big problem, because the Mishnah said Beferish. It even gave the measurements of how large the city is. And remember, the Brisa was talking about these different towns and, what's considered to be a devil. I mean, what do you mean? Are they, all of a sudden we have a day over here that holds Bichlal that you were not saying on devil? Bichol, where did that come from? So the Rishonim have different Pshatim on this that are not particularly, persuasive. But, basically the Ram understands this to mean that what we're talking about over here is not a standard Sheni V'chamishi Sheni response, but rather that we're talking about over here an immediate response of trua because of the fact that dever is so dangerous, and that was what we're talking about, not to respond the way you normally would, and so maybe the chachamim don't agree to being soek bichlal in this fashion, but maybe it was only just on Shabbos. Which one is it? Toshma, because in the Braise it says matrina la dever bishabbat. The Ein Tzarech Lomar Bechol, and Reb Chanan ben Piton, Talmidish Reb Akiva, quotes Reb Akiva as saying, we never are Matrin al Adever. Never. So Rashi says a very strange thing. Rashi says, Ein Matrin al Adever, because it's a gzera. Everybody asks on Rashi, what do you mean it's a gzera? I mean, it says, Afilu Cherev Chadam Nachas al Tzavor Shalodam al Yisi Aishmin and Rachamim. So why is that different than a gzera? You say, anything is a gzera. So Raj seems to be saying there's something that is unique about Dever that has to do with the gzera of the way that the world is. In other words, once this Dever exists, so then you can't just ask that it should disappear because now it's already been gozer on the world. Now what are you going to do with it? You know, so maybe you could save lives or whatever, but you can't be misfollowed that the Dever should just go away. Others learn, and this is how we pass it. Actually, the Morgan Avram Paschal is like this, that we never are mispal are misana on Dever. And he learns that it has to do with the dinim of Tainus. Why? Because you are going to cause more Dever by being misana. Very simple. That's the whole story. Remember of the famous story of Rabbi Shaul Salanter on Yom Kippur that he said everybody has to eat this Yom Kippur. That was because there was a plague. And based on that, Magen Avraham, that where there is a plague, then any level of weakening your immune system is absolutely sakonas nefashos. And therefore you cannot in any way limit your nutrition. So that's how we paskin. In fact, that's how we paskin today. You're not allowed to be misana on Dever. Al kol tzarah shelo tavo al hatzibur, Tanu Rabbanan. Al kol tzarah shelo tavo al hatzibur, we're matrian on, except like the story that we had in the Mishnah, chutz mirov gishamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us rov toiva, as Choni HaMa'agel said, that you can't be mispalel on. Amrav Yochanan, why is that? Lefisha ein mitpalelim al rov hatova. I'll show it you from a pasuk. Yomrav Yochanan. Minayin she'ein mitpalelim al rov hatova. Shneemar haviu et kol ha-maaser al beit ha-tzar. And what does it say? Varikoti lachem bracha ad belidai. So what is this ad belidai? Ad belidai, remember we had this before. Omer Rami Baravyud. So Rami, here it's probably, I changed the gears, so later on we'll find Reviewed. Ad sheyivlu siftotechem milomar dai. So that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a hanhoga of giving you to the point where you can't take it anymore. I can't take it. Enough already. So, okay, fine. So if it's Rov Gishamim, I can't take it. Enough already. Yeah, well, tough. Because otherwise, what good is it to say Ad Beli Dai? So obviously you're trying to say stop, right? I'm going to give you Bracha Ad Beli Dai. Okay. So then if you're going to be Kefer B'Brichot HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to say Afal Pike, please stop. So then you're doing something that goes against his midas. Omer Rami Baravyud, Ubagola, Madrina Le, obviously, if there's any sakona that's involved, so of course you're daven. I mean, if you're talking about in Bavel, where over there, the land, there's no runoff, the land is soaked, it's swampy, and it's not mountainous, so there's nowhere for the rain to go. So there, it could be a disaster. If there's Rov Gishamim, that people can die from simply flooding. Tanya Amiyachi. Shonek Shegishamea Merubin. Where there's too much rain, the Anche Mishmar Shochim Anche Ma'amad, the Anche Ma'amad, remember, were the representatives of Yisrael from all over, were sent up from all around, that they should be aimed on the Karbonis, they should in Karbonis al Adam, Nikravu, Eno, Aimed Agabav. So these were the representatives of Klal Yisrael. And they sent a message to them, you have to daven about this. Note what's happening in Bavel and in other places. And daven about the they can end up dying in their homes with collapses or flooding. Shalom is Rabbi Eliezer. So how much rain should be coming down? And we should then be able to be mispowel that it should stop. So he said to them, if you could climb up to Keren Ophel and you still are able to feel that your feet are in water, Yishach Sheikh Raglav, and there's water already in Keren Ophel, then you can daven. Now, Keren Ophel cannot possibly be flooded, as we'll see. So this is like the Yerushalmi's comment on the case that we had over there, who take a look and see if Evan Atoim, it was Keren Ophel. There's no question it has to be the Rishami's Pshat that we said before, which is just like it's not possible for Evan HaToyim to be Nimcha, so too you'll never be able to pray for the end of Kishom. Unless, of course, it's damaging things. It's something else. Ask the Gemara, but didn't Abraisa say Yadav, that he can be Meshachshach, Yadav, Bamay? Same thing. In other words, Riraglav, Ki Yadavka. I mean, I'm saying you'll never get your feet in the water, so you couldn't bend over and put your hands in the water either, okay? That's what it's saying. That forget it, it's not going to happen. Because Omer Abba Bar Bar Chana, I could tell you, I once went up there, the Didi Chazali Keren Ophel. And I went up on the Keren Ophel, and I saw an Arab who was driving by on a camel. The Nakid Rumcha Biyada, and he was holding this big spear, and this basically, he was like 12 feet high. You know what it looked like to me from the perspective of Karen Ofel? It looked to me like there was a little worm crawling on the street somewhere. That's how high it is. So basically, it's not going to be washed out by rain, I can assure you. Tanur Rabbanan. V'natati gishbechem bi'itam. So bi'itam has a double meaning. It means time, but it also means at the time, that is to say, in the right place as well, because this is not time for rain here and so on. So in other words, what I'm saying is that it should all be correct. It should all be appropriate. So lo shikora, v'lo tzemeah, we don't want drunk land, meaning that it's completely overrun with rain. We don't want the land to be left tzemeah. We want everything to be normal, beinoni. Because man shakishamim merubim, there's too much rain, v'tashtashin etaratz v'namotziah perot. And another understanding of bi'itam is literally time. Davar acher, we're talking about the times. What's bi'itam? Bi'itam is b'leilei revi'iyot, b'leilei shabbatot. Davka, we want it to be Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Why? Because people do not go out of their home at that time. Friday nights, people basically don't go out of home. But even Tuesday nights, remember we had back in the Gemara Pesachim that we had the Igras Bar Machlas, that this is, it's the time for shading. So people don't go out on those nights. Those two nights are also for shading. Well, actually, yeah, we can finish this if you don't mind, because it's Mamish at the end of the second. Just in case you think that Be'ito just on Tuesday night and Friday night is not enough rain to give you what you need, so I can tell you that during the years of Shimon ben Shetach, Yodulaim Kishamim Belele Revi'iyot Uvelele Shabbatot. It was everything was then a wonderful period, and because of that, the rains came down correctly, and it was Be'itam, and it showed up in the Tfua, because Achenatsu Chitim Kikloyot, the wheat kernels became the size of the kidneys of a Shor Agoda, and the barley was as large as olive pits, Karine Zetim, and the Adashim, the lentils, were the size of a gold dinner, and they actually went ahead and they packaged bundles of these things to be able to show future generations. You want to know how large a wheat can be? You want to know how large a lentil can be? So now you need to understand, why do you never see anything like that? Lo dia kama achit gorim. Because you're used to a world that is a world of chatoim. But we don't have anything correctly. Shinamar avonotechem itu ele. It's your own avonot that have bent away all the teva that was meant to be given to you. V'chatotechem manu hatov michem. And that is only because of your own ma'isim. V'chein matzinu b'mei hurdas. Shoyo eiske v'binyam beis hamigdash. When hurdas tore down the building of the beis hamigdash of Ezra and Nehemiah, in order to rebuild it more beautifully, and everybody was working for him on it, what happened over there was the rain would only come down at night. The next morning, the wind would blow in the early morning, the clouds would blow away, the sun shined forth, dried everything out, and everybody had perfect weather to go out, v'yatzu'am l'mlachtan, and the sweetness of the weather allowed them to understand that melech ha-shamayim b'yadeyem, that what it is that they were doing in the Beis HaMikdash was entirely with the participation of the Shechina, the wonderful tenderness of proper weather and rain b'itai.